Cynthia, that was just amazing. We are so grateful, aren't we, to have lots of wonderful, godly, young men and women. And yeah, what you shared was really helpful. I probably don't need to come and add anything, but we had got a process to work through the story of Samuel that we wanted to finish. So I just want to, for the same amount of time, I'll be briefer than Cynthia was. Just look at the next chapter, just bring out one point from the next chapter. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for a senior leadership team in the church, which is going to be an exciting moment and development. So just to continue, we're going to briefly look at the first test. So after Saul had got to that place where the Israelites were going backwards and forwards, and then Saul is appointed as king, whether he should have been appointed as king or not, but he was. And now we come to this point where he have this first test as an official king, and we go to this ongoing battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. Can you imagine, just in your mind's eye, what 30,000 chariots would look like? 30,000, I don't know how many horses were attached to biblical chariots. I don't know. How many should we hazard a guess? Two. Okay, two. How many? Four. Do you know that? No, okay. John's saying that very confidently. Four. Definitely is in the Bible. Okay, so 4,000. So what is 4 times 30,000? 120,000 horses there. And then it says there are also 6,000 horsemen and a whole load. This was a massive army that the Philistines had assembled. What is Saul going to do? How is he going to respond? Is he going to trust in the Lord? Is he going to trust in the Lord's timing, the Lord's plan, the Lord's way? Or is Saul going to think, I need to try and do this myself? Saul's instructions were this. Samuel said to Saul, go and attack the Philistines, go and attack their garrison. And then after you've done that, I want you to go and wait for me at Gilgal. And at Gilgal, I, Samuel, will come to you, and together we will inquire of the Lord and find out what his battle plan is. Yeah, that was the plan. Okay, so let's just read. If you've, it will come up on the screen actually, 1 Samuel 13, and again, we're not going to read the whole chapter as Cynthia just did, but just the few verses we're going to focus on, and it's verse 8 to 14, and it says this, meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Why were they trembling with fear? Because of all the horses and all the chariots and everything that they could see gathering them, and they're just about to annihilate the Israelite army. Saul waited there for 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But guess what? Samuel didn't turn up. Samuel didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him, to welcome him. But Samuel said, what have you done? Saul replied, well, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. And so I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. For Saul, what was the most important thing? What's the most important thing for Saul? To hear how God was going to lead, to be in his presence, to get God's plan, to be led by him. And clearly the answer from this, tragically, is no. He wasn't prepared to wait. And I don't know why Saul was like that. I don't know why Saul thought, look, Samuel told me to come here and wait and we'd seek the Lord. But he just went ahead and he offered the burnt offerings himself and he tried to seek God himself. He didn't do what God had called him to do. Why did he do that? Why did he jump the gun? I don't know. He might have been arrogant. He might have been impatient. Or he might just have been very, very frightened that all his troops were slipping away. And his one opportunity to beat these Philistines, all his troops were leaving. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. But despite the frustration and the worry, Saul should have waited and trusted the Lord. And he should have trusted that Samuel will turn up and that together they will understand what is the Lord's plan for this fight. It's tempting when we get into a tight spot to seek out security exactly as Cynthia has just said. These passages, they just dovetail together. And you're thinking, what are we going to, are we going to force the issue and try and work out what we think is the right thing to do? Or are we going to allow the Lord to lead us? This week, the middle of next week, I go on sabbatical for a short while. In the office team, we're trying to work out lots of different things about how this is going to work and how this is going to do. And then Becca and Lizzie, who work in the office, they said, next Tuesday, which is our one meeting, one day when we have death by meetings, we try and have all the meetings all in one day and we're trying to do it. Like they said, ridiculously, Steve Tebb has got a worship event. Why don't we go to that? Hello? We're just trying to plan a lot of stuff. We're just trying to get ready so that when you're on sabbatical that everything works well and stuff like that. And then you just want to go off to a worship meeting. And you just think, that is the place where we will hear God's heart. And then Becca said, yeah, but so it's a work day. We can just go there during the day, can't we? And then you think, yeah, of course we can. To hear God's plan, the safest place for us is always going to be in the place of trusting in the Lord. Just a few verses. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Proverbs 29. Psalm 4, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Deuteronomy 33, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. The promises of the gospel is not a life free of problems, and it's not a life free of struggles. There'll be delays, uncertainties. Has anybody ever felt frustrated in their job situation? Some people are. Does anybody ever have finance concerns? Yes. Does anybody ever have visa issues, passport issues? It will happen. There is suffering, illness, but ultimately, God says this, he will stand by his people. He stands by his people and he will stand by you. He strengthens his people and he will strengthen you. God's promise is this, that he will empower his people and he will empower you. I think last week when Tim was preaching here, I think, what was the phrase you just kept repeating, Tim? Becca? There you go. People kept saying to me, Tim just kept repeating that phrase. He will be, we forget everything else you said, you know. He will be with you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. Does it mean that life is really easy? No, but the Lord will be with you. He will not forget you. Do you have difficulties? Do you have pressure at work? Yes, you may well do, but the Lord will be with you. He will lead you. He will guide you. Just talking to somebody earlier about housing, the pressure of housing, what to do. I don't really know, but the Lord will be with you. He will be with you. Ultimately, the promise of the gospel is eternal life. You know, the very worst that could happen, we die, something happened, we're martyred. But actually, no, he said that we will be with the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me to safely into his kingdom. Any hardship that you need to know this, any hardship that ever you go through in life is never, if you believe in Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, any hardship that you go through is never the punishment of a vengeful God. It's never. Never. But it is always, always, always the discipline, the guidance, and the opportunity from a loving, tender-hearted Heavenly Father. How can I be so sure? Because Jesus went to the cross for your punishment. That's the whole point. He was punished for you. Your loving Heavenly Father has a plan for your life. If you find yourself in a tight spot, pursue the presence of God and wait for Him. He will never leave you, and He has a good plan. And did you know what? He has a good plan for this church. He has an amazing plan for this church. We want to actually to come to this point where we pray for another leadership team in the church. 2 years ago, in May 2022, we set out a plan to we'd come through COVID. It was quite this difficult moment where we didn't really know what was going on, but we came through COVID, but we realized we need to have a plan to restructure the leadership teams in the church. And we wanted to go to a structure, whereas before it was we just had a team of elders, but actually we now wanted to have multiple teams of different leaders, of men and women leading together. It's been quite a journey. It's been quite a challenge. There's been some interesting moments. And it's included like coming alongside the church in Hatfield. So King's Church Hatfield, that I'm sure we've been talking about it. I just need to let you know that probably 2.5 years ago, that, I'm not joking, that church was about 15 minutes away from closing. That's not a metaphor. That's because a group of leaders, we sat in a room together and we knew we had to go into another meeting. And if some people in that meeting chose one way, we would have to say, okay, the church is closed. We went into that meeting and they said something else and we thought, okay, we've got faith for this church. I just need to let you know that they have responded amazingly well, that church in Hatfield. They are some amazing people. We've done some joint services together, but they are an amazing, amazing, loving bunch of people. And I just need to let you know too that the church is growing again. Last Sunday, we appointed a senior leadership team there, and the church is growing. There are more people coming, there are visitors coming in. And I just need to let you know they are an amazing bunch of people. They are in a season of growing. But it's had an impact on us here at Trinity, just so you know. And I suppose I just want to thank you like for releasing me. So sometimes when I'm not here, you know, people are saying, are you going to be at church at, you know, this Sunday? And I think, well, I am, but I'm not off just, you know, going off for a run or doing something else. I've been up there. So I feel I need to really give you my thanks that actually you've allowed me to go up there and just to stand with them through a difficult moment. Our hope is that in December, we can appoint elders up at Hatfield. And do you know, when we appoint elders up there, guess what? Great, our job's done. That's when we appoint elders. They have to get on with it then. That's when they have to get on with it and lead themselves. And that's a really, really good moment, but it enables us to come back here. And have we got the, Diana, have you got the leadership? Okay, yeah, fantastic, thank you. I'm sure many of you have seen this, but we just wanted to talk through, this is how we're operating our leadership teams with multiple teams together. Just to let you know, our trustees team, ensuring that all the finance and legal stuff. We've got a great team. Everybody knows who Jerry is, but if you don't, just put your hand up. Jerry is one of the trustees. Duncan Hanton is a trustee.
That's me.
And we've had some other trustees. We've got great. Jebson John is now a trustee. Could put your hand up here. Jan Barlow isn't here this morning, is she? No, but Jan Barlow is a trustee. And also we had some of the older trustees that still meet with the trustees because they've got invaluable advice. But that has been a fantastic moment to see that team growing. We've also got a team of deacons. It used to be called something else, but then we found this word in the Bible that was called deacon. So we thought, oh, we'll call it a deacon's team instead. But we've got this team of deacons and it's been meeting for probably about 18 months, and it's got 15 people in there, each carrying specific area of responsibility for specific areas in the church. And it's just brilliant to see like people stepping up and bringing leadership in that team. And now what we want, so that's the deacons on that bit there. And now what we want to do now is to just to recognize a senior leadership team in the church. A team of men and women who work together to strategically lead the team. It's not going to be a static team. It's not going to always stay the same, but it'd be really good if people coming in and then people might leave and all sorts of things. But it will be a team that changes. And then, of course, in due course, we want to appoint other elders in the church. And they will be men who we believe that eldership is a male function, but they'll be part of that senior leadership team who will be specifically accountable to God for discipline, direction, and doctrine. So we've always had guys that are elders, but actually we want to have a new day of men and women working together in leadership. And we believe that this is a model that will help us do that really well. In a moment, I'm going to ask these guys to come and stand up here, but could we just have a very quick brainstorm? What are the really good qualities of godly leaders? Don't know, not yet. Okay. Has anyone seen Men in Black? I'm just looking at it. Okay, you forgot that. Good qualities of good godly leaders. Integrity. Prayerful. Love God. Patient. Servanthood. Was it? Teachable. Yeah, you saw that on there, Bola. I know. I know you saw it. I know, don't lie. I know you saw it. What was that? Hospitality. Yeah, anything else? Responsible. Did you say accessible? Oh, sorry. Accessible. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Available.
Thank you. You didn't see that on there because that's not on there. No, no.
Available.
Humble. Consistent. Compassionate. Reliable.
Patient.
Oh, we get there. This is great. Anything else? Gentle,
friendly,
accountable, committed. Okay, that's enough. Okay, we're going to stop there. Okay. Yeah. We like those words, all of them. This is just some of the lists. Thanks, Steiner. This is some of the lists that this isn't, you know, a defining list. Delighting in the presence of God, obedient, full of the Holy Spirit, teachable, relationally intelligent, available, trustworthy, primarily seeking to empower others rather than being the focus of everything, clear communication and resilient. Those are some of the things. However, more important than that is this. If you can go on to the next one, Diana. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." And for me, I think there has to, with all the stuff that has gone on in the world, with all the stuff about leaders failing, leaders getting really big and arrogant and then falling, there's a lack of humility and there's a lack of accountability, but there is a really profound, there's a lack of servant leadership. And to be a servant, to be a leader, sorry, is to be a servant. And then lastly, just Colossians chapter 3. "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." So we want to move to this phase, particularly as I'm going on sabbatical, we want to move to this phase where we have all these different teams working well. We have trustees, we have deacons, and we have a senior leadership team, and they will look at the strategic leadership of the church. So can I just ask anybody, Becca and Jebson and Jill and Sam and Tim just to come out, and Jerry, could you come out as well? That'd be really helpful. So, look at all these lovely people. It's great. So these are people we want to like just recognize of having some leadership like within the church. I think what you might notice is that there are some women in the mix, which is quite good, isn't it? And Becca, we just think, you know, God is on you for leadership with such clarity. And we believe that there's a new day for us building teams together of men and women, which are just an absolute delight. And Jill, I think, yes, you are a woman.
I should know. I've had your children.
I just need to say that anybody who could possibly imagine that this church could have been planted however many years ago without Jill and I working in partnership, I mean, it's just laughable. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Even though it's been me that's been an elder and I've sort of like been employed by the church, we have partnered this thing from absolutely day one. And so it's just, I think it's really important actually in some ways to be able to recognize that and to value that and to say, look, this is a day where we want to celebrate different leaders coming together. And I think all of these leaders, Jerry and I have been elder. How long have you been an elder in the church, Jerry?
A long time.
But I think we have carried something, but actually what we want to do is to have a different day of different leadership, broader leadership. And we're looking for the day when other people will come and join this. And we love that. That is what we really want and long to see happen. So everybody here who's coming, I think, has added something unique and amazing. And they've carried responsibility either as trustees or deacons for some time and proved themselves. And so we want to say now, we want to recognize you as a senior leadership team for the church. What I'd really like us to do is maybe to push some of these chairs back. But could we, in a moment, like gather around these people and pray for them? That's all we're going to do. We're just going to pray for them, set them apart to bring strategic leadership to the church. Come and lay hands on them. If you can get in there, just lay a hand on them. And then what we'll do is Jerry and I will have a microphone. And if you wave your hand, either Jerry and I will just come and bring a microphone and you can come and pray for them. Pray God's blessing and God's anointing over them. Is that okay? Is that right with you guys? Good. Okay, I just wanted to check. Okay, great. Do you want to come down and just come and let's push some of these chairs back. But if you can come down and gather around them. That means you'll have to get out. Come on, let's stand up. Should we stand up? Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Great. Come, look, don't stand over there. Come, just come around here. Come down here. Yeah, right down there. No, you can't stand there. Come and stand right down here. Come right in. Yeah. Yeah. No, come and stand right. Come and stand right there in the middle. Yeah. Yeah. Jerry, have you got one microphone? Great. Okay. So we'll just pray. Jerry and I will pray and then wave your hand and I'll give you the microphone, or Jerry will give you the microphone and we'll pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are bringing a new day of broader, wider leaders into this church. And we pray now for these people. Tim, we pray for you. Jill, we pray for you. Becca, we pray for you. Salmon, we pray for you. Jebson, we pray for you. That you would carry God's anointing to bring leadership for this church. We pray for a new day of expansive fruitfulness. We pray for a new day of growth in this church. We pray for a new day of recognizing multiple gifts and talents and people. I feel it's significant that we are praying for you on the day where we had Cynthia preaching for the first time. And God is saying to us as a church, no, be constantly looking, constantly looking for those that God is on, constantly looking for God's anointing and to be praying for them, that they would step more and more into what God has for them. But so we ask you, O Lord, now, would you come and anoint these dear people in your precious name, Lord?
Yeah, Jesus, we want to thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you for this pretty significant moment in time for the life of this church, Jesus. We want to thank you for the ease that it was that we just recognized leadership traits in people and that long list which kind of came out when Duncan asked, you know, what do we see in godly leaders? And then that list on the screen, Father. And in a way, Jesus, none of us are going to stand up and say we want to be a leader when we hear the length of that list. But Jesus, we stand here, we stand and we pray for these lovely brothers and sisters who are called to be part of a senior leadership team at Trinity Church. And we say, Lord, we cannot do that list in our own strength. So what we do, Lord, is we come to you and we say, would you pour out your Holy Spirit afresh on these people, Lord Jesus? Would you pour out your Holy Spirit? Would you anoint them even more supernaturally, Jesus? We want to stand here and say we recognize leadership gifts in these people. We see that in abundance, Father. And we thank you for the journey that they've been on. We thank you, Jesus, for their gifts that you've bestowed upon them. We thank you for the leadership wisdom that you have already placed in their hearts and their minds and their souls, Father, and their love that they have for you. But Jesus, this morning, we just say, Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit, Father. Let this be a day that we look back to, as Cynthia said. We want to look back and be thankful, Father, for how you've worked in our midst. And we want to look back at this day and think this was a good day because we're praying, we're gathering to pray your spiritual, your supernatural, your leadership anointing upon these brothers and sisters in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful and exciting moment we are witnessing today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for even inspiring the leadership of this church, Lord, to see the future that you have for this church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there are so many wonderful young people, Lord. Lord, your word says, Lord, to expand the tent, Father. We know, Lord, that you have so many awesome plans for this church, Lord. Awesome plans for these people that you have picked out, Lord. Let them realize, Father, Lord, that what lays ahead is totally different to what has happened before, Father. And that your guiding light will be your spirit and your word upon them, Father, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every one of them would feel that, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, this place would be a place where people will be drawn, Lord, like a magnet, Lord, to come and seek you, Lord, as these people, Lord, lay the foundation, Lord. Lord, for your work, Lord, and for your name to be glorified, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Father, just want to thank you for these amazing people. I thank you that they have stepped out in obedience, Father, for what you have called them to do, Lord. And I thank you that you will empower them, Father God. And I just want to pray your spirit over them, Father God, in the fullness of your Holy Spirit, Father, in accordance to your word in Isaiah 11, Father God. And I pray that your spirit may come upon them. I pray may they have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, and knowledge and the fear of you, O God. So I thank you, Father God, that they have stepped out, and I thank you for what you will do in and through them, Father God. So I just want to bless them, Father God, individually, and give them wisdom in every single decision that they have to make, Lord, that they will come to you, that they will look to you, Father, not in their own strength, Father God, but in accordance to your will and your ways. So I want to thank you for this moment, such a powerful moment, Father God. We just thank you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Father, we want to thank you for this day. This is a day that you've made. This is a day that was designed and orchestrated by you. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by your spirit. We pray, Lord, that that which you have begun in us, you will be able to complete it. That which you have begun in these senior leaders, you will be able to complete it, Lord. The battle is not theirs, but it belongs to you, Lord. And we pray that they will continue to look to you for vision, to look to you for the strategy for this Collindale, for this community. We pray, Lord, that there will be, you will raise up men and women who are after souls, who are desperate and, yes. And you know, have that desire to see people saved, to see Collindale saved, to see this community rise up in love and appreciation and wanting more and more of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that these leaders, that they will know what you, the gifting they have, and that gifting will come to the fore. And we pray that you will stir up that gift that is within them. If it's a gift of prophecy, of teaching, we pray, Lord, that that gift, no power from hell, no scheme of man will be able to stop it. And that this church, Trinity Church, will grow in numbers. It will grow in believers. And we pray that the vision will be for disciple, more and more people discipled.
Yes, Lord.
And more and more people come to know you and love you. We thank you for these leaders. We thank you for their lives and the contribution that they've made. Lord, with a willing heart, we pray that you, all those qualities, that you will put it within them, and they'll be able to use it for the benefit and the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for Trinity Church, Lord, and I thank you for those that are leading it, Lord God. And I just pray that you would bless them, Lord, that you would give them wisdom, that you would open their eyes and their ears to hear you, Lord God, that they would hear your voice, Lord God, and I know what you're saying, Lord God, and that they would lead your ways, Lord God. Yeah, thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people, men and women standing here today, Lord. You've just given me the words of set apart for you, my Lord, ready to do your will. And Father, I just ask that each person here today will know the calling to which they have been called. Father, that no devil, no plan of man can ever pluck them from your hand. And we thank you, Father, for that, because you are gracious to everyone here today. So, Father, touch them through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Anoint them to flow beyond recognition, beyond anything they've ever known, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom is now coming upon them, Lord, coming in power, coming to be able to lead and guide the church, and to guide all those who will come before him, come after them. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that it never ends, that it will blossom until the day you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
If anybody else has anything they want to share, then I just encourage you to write it down and give it to them, or email it to the office. But we want to just value these people. We want to honour them. God's on you. We believe that God is doing a great thing, but actually we believe that God is doing a great thing amongst all of us, taking us closer to the heart of God. So we thank you so much for stepping up. What I think I need to hand back to Jill and to Salmon, but I think we're going to sing something to finish, if that's okay.